The Veterans Report is sponsored by James Cannon.
Welcome to the Veterans Report, the region's only show dedicated to those who have served our country. We have the latest news and information on resources available to veterans, including health care, education, employment tips, local volunteer organizations, and more. To those who have served, those who are serving, and to those who will, we salute you. And now, the host of the Veterans Report, Jim Cannon.
And welcome back to the Veterans Report. Thanks for tuning in and listening today. I'm your host, Jim Cannon, and got a good show coming up today. We have our guest, Holly Ivel, with GuideStar, which is a they scrutinize and look at various nonprofit organizations. So that's going to be an interesting discussion. Holly has a lot of good info on who they are, what they do, and kind of what to look for if you're, I don't know, if you're one of those folks who donates time and or money to various nonprofits. So Holly's coming up at the halfway point, so hang in there. And again, it's going to be a good discussion there, a great group. Want to say hi to our friends at WTF Nation Radio. Great bunch of folks rocking the internet with their material, what they do, their shows. Lively group, a lot of fun. If you haven't tuned in, you're missing out. WTF Nation Radio. So, and to our friends in the nation's capital, it pains me to say this as a Penguins fan, but congratulations on your first Stanley Cup victory. That's it. Those are the only congrats or accolades you're going to get out of me. But hey, we at least here in Pittsburgh, we know the feeling. We know the exuberance. You know, especially with the, because I lived through the first Pens Cup as well, the first time they won it. And I think as a city, Pittsburgh's probably been spoiled from a sports standpoint, at least with football and hockey, not so much with baseball. But it's cool. Enjoy it. And it's a good feeling to know that your team battled through all of it and came out on top. I still hate Ovechkin, but hey, he did what he had to do. So congrats. What else? I want to remind everybody that this is in addition to all kinds of things. I didn't know there was an actual calendar. It's like an official national calendar for whatever the month is, right? So, you know, June has a whole bunch of stuff, but amongst it, it is Men's Health Month, if I have that right. Men's Health and Wellness? No. Men's Health. Men's Health Month. And it's also... I can't speak today. It's all because I'm so excited about this. It's also National Candy Month. Did you know that? I didn't know that. June is National Candy Month. So maybe that's going to be, I think that will be this week's poll. Speaking of which, I think this, well, let me back up. This week's poll, I think, is going to, it's going to be more, I'll toy with that. It might have something to do with candy just because I'm in a goofy mood now because it's warm out. So the poll last week fell into the Bermuda Triangle. There is a way to set up on Facebook, and there's an app for Twitter where you can set that stuff up. You can schedule it, right? So the Veterans Report uses Facebook to schedule the polls in advance, right? So you can tee it up so it pops up at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. The only issue is if you somehow create these self-induced techno gremlins that throw you off track by putting in the wrong information, it doesn't pop up. And that may or may not have been the case this week. So there was no poll. You missed nothing. There's no response to disseminate, no responses to discuss because there was no poll. We'll get it corrected this week. No sweat. So I want to talk about something I brought up last week. Has to do with, I don't know if you saw these, it has to do with these Coca-Cola cans. So Coke, right, teamed up with, what was it? USO. And so they came out with this line of special, you know, whatever you call it, specially labeled Coke cans. And I'm trying to find the picture because I don't want to read the incorrect stuff here. And there were five of them, I believe. Here they are. I found the picture. So there were five Coke cans, and they had silhouettes on them, right? And you could very, very obvious what the uniforms were. I mean, they're faceless, right? They're just silhouettes. So one says sailor, one says airman, and the sailor one, it looks like a sailor. The airman one, they have little wings on sort of the barracks cover. One says Coast Guardsman, wearing a baseball hat. Then they had one with a beret, with this crazy-looking star on the beret, and it says, supposed to be a soldier, right? And it says hero. And then the last one, I mean, clearly supposed to be a Marine. It's got the white cover and the dress blues on. Again, a star where the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor would be. And it says veteran. So, you know, not to play the angry vet, right? You know, oh, I'm offended by everything. You know, how dare you? But I looked at this more from a standpoint, more of a marketing and PR perspective, right? More up my alley, my background, my professional background. And I looked at this and I thought, man, who decided this was a good idea? I mean, I get it. I get the sentiment, right? Coke's corporate collective heart was in the right place, right? They want to honor the military. They want to honor veterans. They want to do something that looks patriotic. And, you know, and they have the USO tag on there. The problem is you left out two major branches of the military and just sort of generically labeled them hero and veteran. Well, okay. So I took a step back. And anyway, I reached out to Coke and I said, hey, what's the deal with these cans, right? And they got back to me and they said, oh, well, you know, hey, we're sorry we couldn't use all the names. We couldn't use all the proper titles. But, you know, these cans were meant to honor U.S. military. I said, oh, okay, that's cool. So I get back to them. I said, well, why couldn't you use the names? Why couldn't you use the word soldier and the word Marine? You know, what's the deal? And I wasn't being combative. I want to make that clear. I was not, this was all very, you know, I think courteous and professional. And they said, well, we couldn't use the words soldier or Marine. We wish we could have, but there are guidelines, there are use licensing guidelines, and we just couldn't use them. Now, I'm not an idiot, right? So sometimes I am. But I knew that there are, every branch, for those of you who aren't aware, every branch has an office in the Pentagon where if you want to use one of their official images, officially, allow myself to introduce myself. If you want to use one of their official images, logos, trademarked words, you go through their office and you say, here's what I propose. Here's my project. You know, I understand, you know, here are the 14 guidelines and here's how this project meets them. Right. So there, it is an application process. You can apply to get licensing rights for their stuff. And, you know, the Marine Corps was the first branch, I believe, that went out and actually started trademarking things like the word the phrase Marine Corps and like the word Marine and Marines and the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. That's all trademarked. So you can't just print up a T-shirt with that stuff on there and sell it. You can. I'm sure a lot of people do, but that's illegal. I mean, you can't. You're not supposed to, right? You're supposed to go through their offices, ask for permission. And again, all the branches have the same process. And you know, occasionally they will grant permission for people to use that stuff. And then it has whatever the product is. You have to tag it and say this is an officially licensed or endorsed product by the Marine Corps or officially licensed by the United States Army or whatever. So when Coke had gotten back to me and said, well, it was a very, you know, sort of evasive, generic response. Oh, we wish we could have used them, but, you know, licensing guidelines, we couldn't. So at that point, I reached out to the the trademark office, the licensing office for the Marine Corps and the Army. I haven't heard back from the Army, but I did get in touch with a really nice guy named Major Block in the office in Virginia, right, the Marine Corps office in Virginia. And he provided a wealth of information, and we went back and forth a couple of times. And at one point, I basically asked, because I asked Coke the same question and got no response yet, but I did ask this Major Block, did they or did they not submit an application to use the word Marine or Marines? Right? A very straightforward question. To Major Block's credit, he wrote back. And again, a very lengthy, detailed response. And I wish everybody would respond the way he did. I really do. Very accommodating. And he wrote back and amongst other things, said, yeah, they did apply. And the project, this CAN project, did not meet all of the requirements that we have listed. And so we denied it. We kicked the application back. But yes, they did apply. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, I don't understand why Coke wouldn't just tell me that. Like, just tell me, hey, we applied for it and it got denied. No explanation, or here is an explanation, but tell me that, right? So anyway, I teed this up last week, and I got to tell you, I was a little irked. By the whole thing, but I'm going to let Coke off the hook, I think. Well, no, I don't think. I am. I'm going to let him off the hook because apparently they did the right thing. Now, what I don't have, the information I don't have, is why. Why was it denied? I guess at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. I just wanted to be assured that they made an effort. Now, here's my... Well, when I say I'm letting Coke off the hook, I'm letting him off the hook for that. I'm not letting him off the hook for running with this project, and here's why. This is a Fortune 500 company. They are listed at number 87 on the Fortune 500. Okay? I want you to keep that in mind, right? Big, big company. Lots of bucks, right? A lot of professional people within their walls. These aren't amateurs, right? Coke's been around 100 years. They know what they're doing. Big Fortune 500 company. Then, on the other side, you have the USO. You might have heard of them, right? Kind of a big group. Pretty well known. A lot of professional people. They've been around for a while, right? Same, same. So these two big behemoths teamed up on this project to, quote, honor the military. Again, extracting from my background, right? Or you know, overlaying my background on this whole thing. I was going to use the word juxtapose, but I use that too often. Somebody at Coke had to have looked at this as a concept. Then they had to have approved it in its final stage. Hey, we're going to go print a couple million of these cans with these silhouettes on them, and it's got the military thing. We've got a communications plan attached to it and sort of a PR blast going with it. Hey, boss. Hey, VP of marketing. Just want you to be aware of this because it's kind of cool, and we can take advantage of the whole patriotism thing. And Coke VP looked at it and said, oh, that's cool. Why are we using hero and veteran? Because we couldn't get permission to use the real words. So at some point, somebody at Coke gave a thumbs up to this. They didn't say, hey, maybe we take a different approach, or let's look at why our application to use the word Marine and use the word soldier was rejected. Let's back off. Let's do this the right way. So somebody at Coke approved this. They greenlit this thing, knowing that it was sort of halfway. Then, the other side of it, is the USO. Somebody at the USO had to have given permission for Coke to put the US logo on their cans. Meaning, at some point, somebody at the USO said, hey, Coke, can we see your design or your idea for where our tag or our logo is going to go? That's how this whole process works. Okay? People review the project, they look at it, they go through a couple of design phases, a couple of changes here and there, modifications, etc., right? But there is an approval process at both the USO and Coca-Cola. So along the way, both of these groups, both of them looked at this and thought it was okay to run with the project as is. In other words, using the word using the words hero and veteran in place of soldier and Marine. Now, look, I get it. Some of you might be thinking, wow, that's really petty. That's kind of small potatoes. That's a silly fight to have. But is it? Is it? I guess I look at it, again, from my perspective in PR and communications and that type of stuff. And I don't want to sound too cynical. And I know that'll shock most of you who know me personally, but a lot of these corporations, right, and even the nonprofits, they use patriotism and their ties to the military as the vehicle to sell products, to sell ideas, and to raise money. Look at the USO. And I'm not picking on the USO. I think they do great things, okay? And I don't want it to come across like I'm lambasting them here. This is factual, right? The USO and other groups, again, they use images of military people. They use images of USO personnel with military folks. They use images that invoke patriotism and support for the military. And they do that when they do their fundraisers and they try to sell. The big thing I get every year is the calendar, right? They always send me a calendar. And then they ask for a donation in return, right? But they do all kinds of stuff. So they use that stuff to raise money. So many nonprofits do. And I understand and get it, right? Because it works. It's effective. But if you're going to do that, I mean, why would you then go forward with a project like this that ends up alienating two of the largest branches, the two branches that, and again, Navy and Air Force, you got to forgive me, but the two branches that really on the ground during conflict do the heavy work. The infantry does the heavy work. The artillery does the heavy work. The tankers do the heavy work, right? And you find those in the Army and the Marine Corps. So it's astounding to me, borderline galling, and that's why I brought this up. That they, you know, on the one hand, they're using their ties with the military and their relationship with the military, which, again, fantastic, good for them. But they use that to raise money. And then we turn around and we have this. And at no point did somebody stop and go, maybe we should take a breather and delay this thing by 90 days. What's the difference? I mean, is there some special anniversary that they had to meet? You know, some magical date by which they had to do this? It's astounding. But then it's unforgivable on the part of Coke. I mean, I know I said I was going to let him off the hook. I guess when I say unforgivable, for somebody to have approved this project without at least thinking through the sensitivities related to it, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is, overall, it's probably a petty thing, right? Small thing to get bent over, but you know, if you look at it from a different perspective, you know, we take pride. Soldiers and Marines take pride in what they do, just like the Air Force and the Navy and the Coast Guard, right? We all take pride in wearing the uniform and doing the job. And I've seen dumber fights out there online about silly things. You know, kids wearing their uniform to high school graduations. Who cares, right? And maybe this is one of those who cares moments. I guess I'm more perturbed that you had a major corporation and a major nonprofit, both of whom use patriotism to drive their success, but then failed miserably on this one. I guess that's where I'm more disturbed. I mean, I owned Coke stock for many years. It was awesome. Very stable. Always had a nice dividend. But this time, it just seems like they fell short. And to get these weird, vague answers from them when I asked, you know, what should have been a pretty common sense question, I was disappointed. That's the word I'm going to walk away with. Disappointment. So, anyway, I wanted to bring that back up because I teed it up last week. Didn't have any answers. Got the answers this week. So, you know, Coke did follow the process in terms of trying to get the right names. But the fact they got denied, that should have been a showstopper, at least temporarily. And they ran with it anyway. So, I'm irritated. So, wow, I didn't mean to go that long on that, folks. One of the other things, so real briefly, I just want to touch on this. Everybody in the media has, they will continue to do so for the next couple of days. So this week we had, Kate Spade and, celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain. They both took their own lives and it has made waves in the media, which is good because how long have all of us been talking about veteran suicides, right? It got to the point where we were almost tone deaf to that. Oh, 22 a day, 22 a day. Well, when you hear that for 2 years, after a while, it becomes background noise. So it's good that it's back on the radar screens, right, front and center. the issue of suicide. Now, there has been an uptick. You know, suicide is nothing new. But there's been an uptick recently in the last, I think they said the last 2 years, especially for males, excuse me, in turning to suicide as a, you know, sort of the solution to life's woes. And so, again, there's more scrutiny on it. I know a lot of the groups out there who have been tackling the veteran side of things have not given up. They haven't waned at all, and they've been steadfast in their research and looking at this issue. But I wanted to bring this up because, one, the most recent information I could find on any kind of statistics was September of 2017. And I found that on a webpage called the Suicide Prevention Resource Center. That's the SPRC.org. They have fantastic information on there. So if you have a chance, if you're interested in this, go there and check it out. They have historical data as well as recent studies. But I wanted to bring this up because of all things that I want you to take away from this is you're not alone, right? Anybody out there who has problems. I mean, we all do, right? We all have tough days. We all have days where we think, man, I'm an island. I'm doing this by myself. You know, and you feel isolated. You feel like you have no allies. You feel like you're doing it by yourself, the entire thing, whatever it is, right? Raising kids or fixing up a house or bailing yourself out of debt, or maybe it's a medical issue, whatever. Everybody has those days. Some folks, however, have them more often and they're more severe. If anyone out there, veteran or non-veteran, is feeling that way, there is a phone number, 1-800-273. Oh, I only wrote down the acronym, TALK. I'm going to have to figure out what that means. TALK, hold on. It is, I'm sorry, 1-800-273-8255. 8255. So that is the number to the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, 1-800-273-8255. Or if you're, I mean, and again, if you're at that point where you just need to talk to somebody because you're feeling like, man, the walls are closing in, I'm ready to check out, you know, like I'm done now. Reach out to somebody. Send me an email. I don't even if I don't know you, right? Send me an email. Send me a direct message on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook Messenger and say, hey, man, do you have a couple of minutes? Right? And if there's some insurmountable thing, if there's some, I don't know, if there's some issue that you're just looking for a resource on, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to track it down for you. And if I can't help you, or if we talk for a minute and you think, wow, this guy's a jerk, I can certainly find you somebody else. Right? Because we're all part of this community. So again, if you're having issues, reach out, man. Reach out to this show. Reach out to, you know, friends, family, whatever it is, and just talk to them about it. So I wanted to touch on that. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happens, including Trump signing the VA Mission Act, which will make it easier for veterans to go outside the existing VA system to find medical care. It grants veterans access to private care, includes situations in which the VA does not offer the care a veteran needs, or the distance to a VA clinic is too far, or if private care is in the best medical interest of the veteran. So that happened this week as well. There are a lot of supporters for this. There are the detractors as usual, because no matter what happens, there are detractors on both sides. But anyway, check out the Mission Act, because I think it's gonna lead to bigger and better things for a lot of vets. I mean, if you're part of the VA system, if you're not, then it doesn't matter. But a lot of vets rely on the VA for their health care. So this is going to impact a lot of folks across the country. Make it a lot easier. So on one other thing, I got to tee this up real quick. Went to a graduation last night, a high school graduation. Not my kid. Didn't know any of the people. I was a guest there. The, what was it? The salutatorian for the school. Nice young lady, bright, articulate. She gave a speech that was one of the best speeches I've heard from any human being probably in the last 3 or 4 years. And what she did was she was talking about the challenges she and her classmates are going to face after high school. And it wasn't the usual sentimental, lofty, weird stuff, right, about families and, you know, doing good things for the community. I wish I had a copy of this. She wove into her speech not only quotes from Jocko Willink, who is a former Navy SEAL and now an author, and he does podcasts. She extracted a bunch of stuff from his book and wove it into her speech, along with a very detailed, it was analogous to Gettysburg, but she laid out a lot of the details of the Battle of Gettysburg and basically made it about struggles and facing adversity, but then how to overcome it, how to beat it. And it was amazing to watch some young high school graduate apply Gettysburg as sort of the compass to her future. It was really cool to see that. So there is hope. I guess that's the point. I was impressed, and I know everybody there was kind of stunned listening to this young lady not only invoke Gettysburg, but also the words of a former Navy SEAL, to sort of motivate her classmates. So it was kind of interesting to hear that. Unique, very unique. So I think that young lady has a great future ahead of her. Again, very bright. And I don't know, that's one of those situations in life where you know you're not going to see that again, ever. So I'm honored to have been a part of that, and great experience. So I guess I went a little long with the Coke can controversy. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Holly Ivel with GuideStar. So hang in there. If you want to keep up with the latest in veteran news away from the radio, stop by our website at www.theveteransreport.com. There you'll find news headlines, along with links to media outlets around the world. You can also find links to every state's veteran services office. And for you film buffs, there's even a link to a war movie database. We appreciate you stopping by the Facebook page at facebook.com/theveteransreport. There, like the website, you'll find the latest news and information related to veterans. For you high-speed individuals who want to limit yourself to 140 characters, stop by our Twitter account. It's a great way to find information on veteran organizations throughout the country and what they're up to. You can tweet us by using @TheVetsReport. If you'd like to email the show directly, please send us your input, comments, or suggestions to editor@TheVeteransReport.com. Thanks again for checking out our pages. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting our veterans community. We are back on the Veterans Report. Thanks for hanging in there, and thanks for tuning in and listening. We have with us our guest, Holly Ivel, the Director of Data Services for GuideStar. Holly, how are you?
I'm great, Jim. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show today. This is cool.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no sweat. So we cover a lot, and I think you and I discussed this at one point. We cover a lot of different organizations on the show, a lot of nonprofits especially, and it's so important to know, I guess, what their background is or where they stand. That's a better way to put it, where they stand relative to other nonprofits, because there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah,
so that's why it's so important to have you on the show today. If you could take a minute and tell me what is GuideStar? Like, what's your mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So GuideStar was founded in 1996, so it's a little over 20 years old. And the goal from the beginning has been to bring more transparency to the nonprofit sector so that we can help all the different stakeholders who are involved, donors, nonprofits, grant makers, to have better data that enables them to make better decisions, whether that's giving decisions or if you're a nonprofit trying to think about how to structure a program, better decisions along those lines. So we're really focused on bringing data to the public about the nonprofit sector.
Okay, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so we started 20-plus years ago by getting data from the IRS, which is publicly available, on nonprofits. And so there's a variety of sources that the IRS makes available to help individuals know whether or not a charity is registered and in good standing, what type of charity it is, and to get some basic annual reporting from those organizations. So when we first started, a lot of that was in paper form, and we had a process to manually key that data into a database. And then over time, through a variety of means to make that available. So most people would find us through our website, and that's the easiest way to do research on charities. The data that we have is easily accessible through our website.
So now I'm assuming, and this is probably a logical assumption, that you have a lot of visitors to your site.
We do.
So how, just sort of off topic for a second, how big is GuideStar? How large is the organization or your database too?
Oh, so the database, you know, we always get that question. It's sort of interesting to try and answer. We have data on over 2.7 million nonprofits. You can imagine since 20 years ago, some of those nonprofits that we initially gathered information about are either no longer functioning or perhaps they've merged. So we have historic data on over 2.7 million nonprofits across the country. And of that today, about 1.6 million organizations that are active and in good standing with the IRS, and we have data on those organizations. And we have, we talk about 3.5 billion pieces of data about those organizations, which is really kind of hard to make sense of. But what I like to say is it really lets you go deep about certain types of charities, and it lets you go wide in looking across the sector, and it lets you look at things over time. So it's a very robust database in some places. One of the things that's interesting is about that 1.6 million is almost half of them are making less than $50,000 a year in revenue. And so they're very small, and their filing requirements with the IRS as a result are pretty minimal. So in some cases, for large organizations, we have lots and lots of information. We know the types of programs that they're running, how much they're spending on those programs, some of their governance practices. We know the people that are leading the organization. When it comes to the small organizations, there's much less detail that they're required to provide to the IRS, and so we have another whole means for encouraging those organizations to voluntarily give us give the public more information about their programs.
So, So in addition to, this is a good starting point for anybody who's interested in looking at a particular nonprofit. But one of the other things that I found interesting, we can get back to sort of the base level here, but one of the other things is this information will help people when they're putting together things like grant applications.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So some of our biggest users, we have free services, and the majority of people who come to our website access the data that we have for free, the vast majority. But we also have put together some specialized tools for grant makers and funders who are looking to do really deep dive research before making a grant to a charity. And so we help the general public, and we really try to make that data accessible and visual and easy to interpret. And we have also tools that we layer onto the website that can be purchased for subscription kinds of services to really do those deep dives.
So now this isn't a completely, I don't know if I'll use the right word here, but this isn't completely passive, right? There are, if I understand this correctly, there are some tools available for nonprofits.
Absolutely. And actually, you know, one of the things that I mentioned a moment ago is that the vast majority of organizations, when you think about it, out of 800,000, are so small that really there's very minimal public information they have to file with the IRS. So we developed this program called the GuideStar Profile, Nonprofit Profile Program. And the idea of that program is to say there are categories of information that you as a nonprofit should make available to the public to help increase transparency about the work that you're doing, build trust, and hopefully encourage people to support your mission. So that profile program is available to every organization, nonprofit organization to complete for free on our website, and then it becomes available to anyone who comes to our website. In addition to it being available on our website, it increasingly, our data increasingly supports a network of other sites that many of your listeners are probably, like Amazon Smile, for instance. That data flows to other web platforms that are getting the word out about charitable giving and about nonprofits.
Oh, okay. So you tie into already established organizations.
Absolutely. So if you go out to Facebook today, the nonprofit data that you will find on Facebook is powered by GuideStar. The Amazon Smile program is powered by GuideStar data. So we have a website and a set of services and a offering, but we also try to make sure that nonprofits who take the time to fill out the data on our site aren't having to do duplicative work, for every other website out there. So any of those larger organizations can reach out and partner with GuideStar, and we will work to help that data flow through many of the website systems.
So as long as we're on sort of the nonprofit side of the fence, let's keep running with that. excuse me. So I know you don't like to use the word rating or evaluation, but when you're looking at a particular nonprofit.
Yeah.
What factors are you looking at? How do you view these groups?
Yeah. So the GuideStar profile that I mentioned a moment ago has set up with an increasing level of seals from bronze all the way to platinum. And how we think about this is that there are base levels of information and levels of increasingly sophisticated information that can tell you a lot about how the organization is trying to accomplish its mission. So the bronze level is a very low level of information. It's helping people to know who you are and where to find you, and some basic information about who's involved in running your organization. And then the next level up, SEAL, is really focused on financial information. People often want to understand, what are the finances of a nonprofit, and so that level is meant to help people better understand what's the revenue streams, what are the expenses, are they carrying a lot of liabilities, do they have assets that help them to grow, what are their major funding sources. So that's the next level. And then from there, you really start to get into how are they trying to accomplish their mission. So our gold seal, if you want to know more about, what are their goals and how do they think they're going to achieve those goals? What are the strategies that they're using to try and make change? What kinds of resources and capabilities do they have? And can they tell us what they've accomplished so far and what they're working on next? The highest level rating that we have is a platinum rating, and that's where we ask a charity to provide metrics. So, okay, you have these goals and you have some strategies. How are you doing? What do you measure? And what does that tell me about your progress? So these are things that not necessarily GuideStar would say, is good or bad one way or another, but our tools are data points for the listeners that you have to go look at and make their own decisions. We don't want to tell someone that this organization, because they have a particular strategy, is better than another. It depends on what you care about as an individual and as a donor, what you want to support, and then learning about what that organization is doing and whether or not it's doing it well, in your opinion.
Okay, so the various seals then shouldn't be regarded as necessarily good versus bad, but more, here's the size of this buffet versus this one.
I wouldn't say it tells you good versus bad, but it can tell you that the organization is committed to communicating to you as much as they can about the work that they're doing, And that level of transparency helps you to make better decisions. So if the organization doesn't have a seal or it hasn't taken the time to outline what its goals are, hasn't provided you with recent financials, those are things that you can take into consideration as you're trying to evaluate the charity. You can also go to their website. You know, many organizations will take time to post their annual report, to post some of that information on their website. So just because it's not with us doesn't necessarily mean that's a flaw, but you should be looking for what are they publicly sharing, whether they're sharing it with GuideStar or they're sharing it on their website or some other forum.
And to your point, I think you mentioned this earlier, but just for clarification, so if they were at a certain level, and you know, if I'm a nonprofit and I approach GuideStar and I come in at a certain level, how do I improve that? Is it just by virtue of, it's like, you know, people improving their credit score, right? It just takes time.
Yeah.
Is it the same kind of concept behind that? It takes time and a better effort, or is there like
A very simple process. We have a whole set of documentation online that explains what is required at each of those seal levels. It's actually not very onerous. If they're completing an annual filing, if they're meeting with their board, if they're producing an annual report, much of what's in those annual documents should be easily transferable to these different seal levels. And so it's no different than going online and creating, in some ways, a LinkedIn profile. Where you say, here's my previous employer information, or here's the things that I've done. It's a very easy process, and we're also happy to help an organization that's trying to, you know, step through it and maybe has some questions along the way. But it's not onerous, and it's a really, in my mind, an indication of good communication with the public that they take the time to do this.
Now, I've seen at on various websites at the bottom of the page, a lot of organizations, whether a nonprofit or not, they will have they'll insert certain logos. Are the nonprofits associated with GuideStar allowed to use those logos on their website as sort of a marketing tool?
Yep, they are.
Okay, I didn't know if there were certain rules associated with that, or
if they have achieved that seal of transparency, and I have to tell you, Jim, I need to double check, but my understanding is yes, that's something that nonprofits can do, and it should be something of pride for them that they've taken the time to make sure the public really understands who they are, whether they're a small organization or a large organization.
Well, no, I agree, and I don't know why they're not on every page. It just seems, that would be a great, I guess from a personal standpoint, that would be a great tool to have and say, hey, look,
yeah,
I'm part of this, you know, recognized, very, you know, well-respected organization.
Absolutely.
You know, which means I'm transparent enough that I've been evaluated. So come to my page and hang out. So I don't know why not all of them would use it.
Yeah, and I would say it's a great conversation. If you have a charity that you're involved with or that you have given to over the past, and you go out to GuideStar's website and you don't see that they have adopted their profile and completed it, I mean, it's a great thing to reach out and say to that organization, I think this would be really good for you, and it would make me feel better if you took a little time to fill this out. I think that's a great way to encourage nonprofits to be more transparent with the public.
So we've covered sort of the nonprofit side of things. Let's take a couple of minutes, walk through it as Joe consumer who wants, you know, looking around for a nonprofit. You know, my aunt died last year and left me a bunch of money. I want to give some of it. So where do I start?
Well, so I think where you start, a lot of people start with what's in their heart or what are things they care about. And so we have a search tool that lets you go and make some decisions about the types of organizations you might want to look at. So you could look by state or by zip code. You can look by what's called a cause area or an NTE code. So maybe you care about veterans issues, and you can type that in. And it's going to come back with a group of organizations. You can add some more things to that. So, for instance, maybe you want to look at the seal level we just mentioned. So maybe the first set of the first criteria is you want to see that somebody's at least provided some basic financials. You could also look at the size. So maybe you really want to support smaller organizations. You feel like you want to help a startup. Or no, you really want to service somebody on a national level, so you might look at an organization that's larger financially. So there's a lot of different components. You can also just do a name or a keyword search. So if you think you know an organization or maybe one has come knocking on your door and you think, gosh, before I make a donation, I want to learn a little bit more about them, you can type the name of the organization in. And once you do that, so let's pick one. Do you have one that you like to support, Jim?
Oh, there are a bunch of them. We could do, I don't know, is the Semper Fi Fund in there?
So spell it for me again.
It's S-E-M-P-E-R.
Yeah.
And there should be a space and then F-I.
Let's see. Semper Fi Rescue?
No.
Injured Marine Semper Fi Fund?
Yes.
Okay, great. They are a platinum organization.
Now, wait, how are you doing this? Because I want to get on here.
Yeah, so you go out to GuideStar.org.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay, and you have a search field right in front of you.
Right at the top.
Right at the top.
Hiding in plain sight, Holly.
Yeah, so type it in see what you get back.
Man, now I feel dumb. Okay, Semper Fi.
No, it's good. Sometimes it's like we make it more simple and you're expecting more complexity.
I was scrolling up and down the page. I'm like, where do you search? It's right there. Okay. Oh, yeah. It comes right up. Okay.
Okay. And you can see that this is a platinum organization.
Oh, wow. All right. So you click on that.
Click on that. And then you should get a page with a fair amount of detail. So you're going to see the platinum logo. You're going to see a little bit of information at the very top about them. So they're AKA or they're doing business as. And this is something that happens all the time, is that an organization has a formal legal name with the IRS. But then a name that most people in the public know, which is Semper Fi. But the legal name is Injured Marine Semper Fi Fund, right? That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
But it came back, and it'll tell you, okay, where is it? It's in California. What do we have its website? What's the link to its website? And then you'll see a bar that has some different information, summary, programs, financials, and operations.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So that really lets you do some quick scans to learn more about them. So you can see on that base page, they've got a mission statement that they've provided. Just to the right of it, it tells you what their ruling year is. So they've been around since 2004. This, candidly, is probably a little technical, but it can be a little funky what the ruling year is, because sometimes organizations will fall out of good graces with the IRS, and then they'll have to refile. So the ruling year is kind of the last time or maybe the first time they filed. It tells you who the president of the organization is, what their mailing address is. And then out further to the right, it tells you what its tax ID number is. So that means that that's their official. If they have employees, they have to have a tax ID number. That's not necessarily tied to being a nonprofit. It's just a business entity of any type. It tells you what their NTE codes are, those cause areas I mentioned. And then out to the far right, it should tell you what type of organization it is. Most people think, well, aren't they all public charities? And the reality is they're not. Of the 1.6 million, about 1.1 million are 501c3s. And there are actually a lot of veterans organizations that fall into a different category. They are 501c19, which is often thought of as a post. And so those are a different type of nonprofit. So it's good to kind of understand what you're giving to and whether or not it's actually an organization where you can take a tax deduction. If you want to, you can see their social media links, and you can download their tax forms. So it says show 990s if you click on that. If we have any tax annual filings for them that are available, you can pull those down.
Wow. Yeah, I'm scrolling down a little bit, and it lays out things like total dollar amount of grants awarded, who they serve, population served, which I think is important for people to know. There's a whole bunch of other categories. And then for those data geeks out there, And I know there are a lot of them. They have little bar graphs down there that break down by gender and race and ethnicity. So you guys go into great detail on this.
Absolutely. And look, you can see in their financial section how they've been growing over time. We've got a really nice visual that helps you to see that their revenues and their expenses have been growing proportionally. They've largely been running a balanced budget. In this case, you can see the vast majority of their revenue is coming from contributions, so not much in the way of government grants or program service fees. So this to me, and then you can also see on the financial section where they have posted their audited financials. So the IRS data is always coming in, Jim, as much as 2 years behind, because the way the filing cycle works is they don't have to complete a form until the end of their fiscal year, and then they can ask for up to 11 months worth of extension. So while the IRS data is really helpful, it's backwards looking, and so the profile that we have lets them upload their most recent audited financials, and they've taken the time to do that, which is a great sign of transparency.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then, you know, one of the things, people are always really focused on how much money is going to end programs. But what we try to help the public think about is that these organizations often are providing critical services, and they need a level of financial stability and quality of management and leadership to really deliver impactful programs. So some of what you see here is also looking at, like, do they have emergency cash, right? If for some reason their funding source shifted, if they had a grant that was delayed, are they going to have to close shop very quickly and leave a lot of people hanging who were counting on them? Or do they have a level of cushion that allows them to weather storms? It's no different than thinking about our, you know, you and me or our households. Like, are they structured in a way that is going to allow them to continue providing those services, or are they going to have a crisis really quickly?
Well, and it's interesting you bring that up, because I've often thought about right after 9/11, the Red Cross jumped into action and they did what they do.
Yeah.
And they were in a unique position as pretty much the only organization who was ready in terms of the level of disaster response.
Yeah.
And I was floored by the fact that they hadn't been out there 3 days and people were hammering them.
Yeah.
Because they had gone through their financials and they said, well, why are you spending so much on salaries? And I thought, well, okay.
Yeah.
No,
that's exactly right. And so these are the questions I think you have to ask yourself, is what is necessary in order for an organization to deliver on its mission? They probably need a certain amount of tractor trailer trucks or tents in storage or inventory that allows them to move quickly. So you can even see in these larger organizations a high-level report of their assets to understand, like, do they have the capabilities to do what they need to do? Are they extended from a liability perspective or not? Those are really, it's critical if you want somebody to be able to provide meaningful services that they have those capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, if they are meeting whatever their goal is, I guess, you know, personally, and I don't want to sound too crass, but I don't care what they pay their CEO. I mean, if they have a particular mission and they're achieving it,
yeah,
you know.
Well, and it should be in proportion to the complexity of what they're doing, right? So if you're running a hospital service, you really want somebody who understands the intricacies of delivering that kind of service to a population. If it's a, you know, in the case of this group that we've pulled up together, this is a $36 million annual revenue right now. That's a really big organization to run. So you can be focused on saying, well, if they're in the nonprofit sector, they shouldn't be paying people. But I think that's really short-sighted.
Oh, no, I agree. That's not the way. That's not how you attract people with the capability of executing whatever the mission is. So,
yeah.
So, man, we could go on all day about that. This is a good discussion. But so as a consumer, is there one big thing that I should be looking at when I'm looking at a nonprofit, when I'm looking to volunteer, or when I'm looking to donate? Is there one that sort of jumps out, like, this thing, whatever it is, this is sort of the keystone? Like, if this is off, I should stay away.
That's a great question. You know, to me, if an organization is pressuring you, if they're not sharing information that you think should be reasonably available to the public, if they are unwilling to send you information in advance about themselves, if their website doesn't have a lot of detail about the programs that they're running, then I think those are signs of concern. They should have a clear mission. They should be able to articulate their programs, like what are the things that they're offering that support the mission, and what are some of the basic metrics that tell you if they're moving in the, you know, what's the scale and quality of the work that they're doing. So, like, this organization talks about the number of clients they serve. They talk about the number of service members that have received grants each year. They talk about the total amount of grant making they're doing. So if you're really focused on, you know, wanting, caring about an organization that's supporting families through a certain type of program, you want to know those details.
So, Holly, we have, no, and I agree, and we have about a minute left. So out of all of this, I mean,
I'm glad we do too.
what's the difference between all of these groups that look at nonprofits? What would you say makes GuideStar really stand out?
Yeah, so there's two things. One is we've been doing this, we cover the entire sector. So a lot of other groups will highlight a subset of organizations that they'll rate either in a positive way or a negative way. We try to provide information about every nonprofit that is registered with the IRS. And we have a historic amount of data that can really let you see an organization over time. And we try to make the platform available for the organization to tell its own story directly to you. So I think those are some of the key differentiators. You're not going to go anywhere else and find every nonprofit in the country. Now, I will say, let me throw this out there very quickly,
sure,
that churches are not required by the IRS to register. And so when you go out to our site, if you're looking for your local church or synagogue, you may not find it here, and that's because the base of our data comes from the IRS. But a church can actually independently register with us.
Okay.
That's probably the one place where you'll see some gaps. Another place is in public schools. So, for instance, public schools are often part of the government, and so they're not in the formal definition of a nonprofit, but we can work with you to get them registered here in certain cases as well.
So the message is, if you want to find your local stuff, reach out to them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, there are just a couple of categories where you would think, well, why aren't they in there? And there's always a reason, but we've got 1.6 million in there, and I don't think you'll find too many other sites like
Holly, I appreciate it. We got to go. We're going to have you back at some point, though. I really appreciate the conversation. GuideStar, Holly Ivel, Director of Data Services. Thanks a lot, Holly.
You bet, Tim. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Take care. And that does it for this episode of the Veterans Report. Till next time, I am your host, Jim Cannon.
You've been listening to the Veterans Report. Let others know about the show. You can find us online at theveteransreport.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to editor@theveteransreport.com. Join us again at the same time for up-to-date veterans news and information. The Veterans Report. Thank you for your service, and carry on.
The Veterans Report has been sponsored by James Cannon.